lige nu i Rema 1000. Augustsson ekstra store rejer eller filet royal af koldrøget norsk laks. Kun 49 kroner. Godt nytår fra Rema 1000.
Marok Podcast tager dig med backstage.
Det er blevet onsdag. Tid til en ny omgang af Marok Podcast. Jeg hedder Sten Skovbro. Velkommen til, og tusind tak, fordi du lytter. Manden, som er hovedpersonen i dagens Marok Podcast, kræver i virkeligheden ikke den store præsentation. Han får den alligevel, for det han har fortjent efter mange års tro tjeneste i rock. Da han kom til verden, lød han navnet Vincent Damon Fernier. Men verden lærte ham at kende som Alice Cooper. Der er nyt album på vej, det hedder Detroit Stories, og det er blandt andet det, det handler om i denne uges MyRock Podcast med Alice Cooper. Velkommen til.
Doing?
I'm doing great. I'm in Arizona, and it's about 80 degrees today, and it's perfect outside.
All right. I should tell you that here in Denmark right now, we got a lot of snow. It's pretty cold.
I'll bet.
So yeah, we're in the middle of the winter right now. Well,
it's winter here, but our winters are very mild. We don't get any snow.
I know. It would have been different if you were in Detroit, right?
Oh, Detroit is getting a blizzard right now. So, you know, I was born there, and I remember, you know, all four seasons. It would be summer, spring, fall, winter, and in Arizona, it's just always kind of sunny and nice.
Yeah, but you have to get used to the rattlesnakes. They're not in Detroit.
Well, they're out there, and I tell you what, I play golf almost every morning, and a lot of these golf courses are out in the desert. They're beautiful golf courses, but you hit a ball into the desert, and you'll probably see at least one a day for rattlesnakes. But they're kind of like, they don't really want any part of you. They want to get away from you. But if you step on one, you're in trouble.
Then you have to have like safety boots or something like.
Yeah, it's not a good thing. You know, you want to avoid them at all costs.
Yeah, you know, but we're not here to talk about golf. We have to talk about Detroit Stories and your new album coming out in just a moment. And I really wanted to know, well, you're born in Detroit. You had your breakthrough in Detroit. Do you feel that you owe something to Detroit?
Yeah, I do. And I feel a loyalty to Detroit because Detroit has always been a bit of a outcast city. You know, it was the murder capital for a while, and it was the drug capital for a while. But it was also the most musical city. It had Motown, and it also had bands. All the hard rock bands came out of Detroit. You know, Alice Cooper and Iggy and the Stooges, the MC5, Bob Seger. You know, I mean, all the Susie Quattro, all the bands that came out of Detroit were guitar-driven hard rock bands. And so as much of an industrial city as it is, it was still the sort of more musical than almost any other city. And we decided to do a hard rock album, a real hard rock album, guitar-driven hard rock. And so we decided then let's go to Detroit. Let's write the album in Detroit. Let's record it there. And let's use all Detroit players, from different bands. And we'll make it into a sort of a all-star band. And when I heard the band playing, I immediately wanted to do the album live in the studio. Because these guys were so good that I didn't want to layer it. I wanted everything to be live. We wrote the songs, taught the songs to the band, and then we would record them live. And I think it came out really, really good.
And it's like a saga that started almost a year ago when you brought us the Breadcrumbs EP. This is like the natural follower for that one, and some of the songs are the same. So was that actually just to prove that you were right to do this, that you had to put out the EP Breadcrumbs to like pave the way for this album?
Well, you know, it was kind of an interesting thing how that happened. We had 180 cities booked between the Alice Cooper Band and the Hollywood Vampires. So we realized that we weren't going to be able to do the Detroit album until almost a year later, or we wouldn't be able to put it out for a year, only because we couldn't really promote it. We were still on tour. So Bob said, I have an idea. He said, why don't we do an EP? And what we'll do is we'll give the audience a sort of a taste, an hors d'oeuvre of what the next album's going to be, a teaser. And we'll call it Breadcrumbs, because in the old fairy tales, a little girl would drop breadcrumbs so she could find her way home, you know. And the breadcrumbs led you in then to the Detroit album. And we just kind of gave everybody a taste of what was coming. Then when now we could put the album out. The whole pandemic thing happened. We had no idea that was going to happen. So that further delayed it. And now finally that album's coming out. And we're already working on the next album.
You're not slowing down, even though you just had your, 73rd birthday.
No, not at all. In fact, we've got this album going, and I'm also working on the Hollywood Vampires next album. So, yeah, we're staying way ahead of the curve.
Is this the result of the corona pandemic, that you actually had too much time on your hand?
Well, I think that every musician, we certainly couldn't tour. And, maybe it was a good thing to take a year off, just to rest for a year. But at the same time, what is a musician going to do if he can't tour? He's going to sit at home and write and record and do demos so that when it's time to go into the studio, you've got a whole lot of material. And I think every single band did that. Every guy I talked to that was, in a band, we all have our own studios at home. So, you can write, and then you can do demos, and you can work on it, and you can, you know, listen to it for a while and change this and change that. By the time we get in the studio, everything is ready to go.
But right now, I mean, you're used to extensive touring with both the Alice Cooper Band and the Hollywood Vampires. How has this corona impacted you? I mean, how do you keep a straight mind? Because you used to go on tour every now and then. So now you have to stay at home.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I spend probably 2/3 of the year on tour between the two bands. And I mean, literally, it feels like you're coming, you have to change your whole lifestyle. And that's the craziness of it. You know, I mean, we're used to a certain rhythm on the road. You know, you're going to do a show that night. You know what time you're going to eat. You know what time you're going to rest. You know what time you're going to do this and this and that. You know, it's a different lifestyle being on the road than it is being at home. So you take that away. And I've been doing that for 45, 50 years. You know, take that away. And you have to relearn how to live at home. But, you know, it's great to be, especially like here in Arizona, you know, where it's a big resort. So I play golf every morning. You know, I do my radio show. I kept pretty busy during the whole time.
Because I remember the last time we talked, we just touched ground on why you started playing golf. And you told me that it was because you had to get another habit from the bad ones you used to have. So what I was thinking was that in this really crazy world, the pandemic situation, did you have any fear of falling back into the old bad habits?
Oh, no. I'm so far past that, yeah. Alcohol doesn't play any part in my life anymore at all. You know, it's been 38 years since I've had a drink. And now I'm more addicted to being sober, you know, and that's a good thing. My whole life is, I can't even remember being back in that life where I was drinking every day. It was kind of a fog, you know, even though I was getting things done and I was doing albums and I was touring, it was still a bit of a fog. Everything was so fast paced. And now I kind of look at the shows we're doing now and the records we're doing now. And even though those records were really good, you know, School's Out and Billion Dollar Babies and all that, you know, I think the show is better now. I think what we're doing on stage is a much better show than what we used to do back then. So I would never really fall back on the alcohol. Yeah.
Actually, that leads me to another question, which I haven't prepared. So here goes. I was wondering, your live band, there's a lot of great players in that band. And I remember talking to one of your guitarists, Nita Strauss, at one point. And she said one of her main goals was to be on a record with Alice Cooper. So can you tell me, is there any chance that Nita at some point will be a part of the studio band that is Alice Cooper? Because that's two different things.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because we literally have been talking about that, doing an entire album with the studio band, you know, with a stage band. And, you know, I mean, I think the only reason that they haven't been on the record is because when the tour's over, all of these players have all got their own, you know, their own careers going on. I know Nita makes records by herself, you know, and Orion does and all this. I would have to carve out a time when I could get all of them together. One guy lives in Zurich. One guy lives in Stockholm. One guy lives in Nashville. One in L.A. You know what I mean? They're all over the place. I would have to corral them and say, okay, we need to be in one place for a month, you know, to write and record an album. And that's very doable, because everybody in my band, I think I have the best touring band out there, and they're all fantastic players. So, yeah, I would love to do an album with the touring band.
And you got the luxury of having three, well, lead guitarists.
Yeah, and Tommy is one of the main writers. Tommy Hendrickson is on this album, on the last album, and the album before that. Tommy and I have been doing more writing than anybody. So Tommy on the album, and Glenn Sobel is such a great drummer. Chuck Garrick is bass players around. And I've got Ryan Roxy, you know, who is a great songwriter. And Nita is one of the great shredders of all time.
It's pure luxury to choose.
Yeah, the thing I love about touring with this band is that they're all super professional. And everybody in the band are best friends. You never hear any ego things backstage or, you know, I want to do that solo and I could do that solo better than you and all that. You never get any of that with this band. Everybody's so cooperative with each other that it's a pleasure to tour with them. And it's the same thing with the Vampires. Everybody in the Hollywood Vampires, we've been together 5, 6, 7 years, something like that. I have never heard an argument. There's never been an argument about anything. We just have fun, like going up playing. Nobody's ego gets in the way. And to me, that's what makes it really easy to do.
We have very little respect for everything. Very little regard for anything. We've got something against so much, and we're only beginning. Our mind's a cynical machine now. That'll never run out of steam. We're all pessimistic creeps, or so it seems, 'cause that's
All right. right, let's dig a bit into the songs that you chose to put on the album, because well, some of them are straight on Alice Cooper songs and some are not. And I'm hinting to especially one of the cover songs, Our Love Will Change the World.
Yes.
When I heard that song made by Alice Cooper, I was like, "What? How did you how do you think of putting that song on the album? It's not that it's not great, but it's just..."
I know, it's really funny because the whole album is more of a hard rock blues guitar driven album, you know. And this song came along, and it was written by a band called Outrageous Cherry. And they were a punk, psychedelic punk band. And Bob and I were kind of looking for songs that were from Detroit bands that were kind of forgotten. And we heard this song and we couldn't get it out of our head. It was just one of those songs that stuck with you. So we got in touch with the guy and we said, "Listen, we want to do this song, but we want to change it. We want to do some surgery to it. And we're going to Alice Cooperize it." And they said, "Wow, great. That would be, you know, what a cool thing." So the song is very happy. The music is very happy. But when you listen to the lyrics, they're very subversive. The lyrics don't match the song at all, because it's kind of talking about how the next generation is going to change our world and we won't recognize it, but, you know, we'll get used to it. You know, it was sort of a very subversive insult to our generation. And I thought that was a great song, because once you hear it all day, you're going, "A love will change the world." It's a juxtaposition of the lyrics not matching the music.
Yeah. It's got that weird 60s happy-go-lucky vibe.
Yeah, very much so. And then you listen to what you're singing and you're going, "Wait a minute, this is kind of dark."
It's really funny, because I think that on every Alice Cooper album, there is this odd one out that doesn't, well, fit in. I remember on the Hey Stupid album long ago, my favorite song was Might As Well Been on Mars. And that one is the...
Do you know that that's... I always tell people that's the best song I ever wrote.
It is. It is a great song. I really love that song.
That's my favorite song too.
Oh, that's good to know, because it is a good song, and it's overlooked a lot of times because, well, there's a lot of other great songs on that album, but Might As Well, that's just a great song, and that's the odd one out on that one as well.
Yeah, you're right. Every single album does have one song that jumps out as being, "What?"
Yeah, exactly.
I like that, though. I think what it does is it kind of shows that Alice can stretch into a different thing if he wants to, you know. And I make sure that those songs, even the ones that are so far out there, are really well written, you know, so that you listen to it and you can't say it's a bad song. You just say it just doesn't seem to fit.
No, exactly. And actually, one of my favorite things to do when we're in the offices of the radio, well, now I'm at home because I have to, but when I'm at the office, one of my favorite pranks is to actually put on your cover version of Eleanor Rigby and challenge people to say who is singing this song. And no one guesses that it's you, because everyone thinks that Alice Cooper sounds in a special way. But on the Eleanor Rigby song, you don't at all sound like you.
You know, when McCartney got in touch with us, you know, they were going to do this album where everybody's doing his songs. And I thought he was going to give me like Helter Skelter, or he was going to give me a hard rock song to do, you know. And they say, "No, Eleanor Rigby." And I go, "What?" You know, because that's one of those songs, like Yesterday, it's so perfect that you can't improve on it ever. But he had heard me sing other things other than just the hard rock. And they decided that was the one they wanted me to sing. And so I really, really went out of my way to make sure that thing was sung correctly. That's another song that you can mess around with, you know.
Were you actually afraid to sing it?
I was a little nervous because, I mean, you know, that's one of I think Beatles' crown jewels is Eleanor Rigby, and but I was very complimented in the fact that they would want me to do that song, you know. And I did it justice.
Well, I think you did. All right, just to round this up, I want to go back to Detroit. And I actually want to talk about the latest song coming off the album, Social Debris. Is that actually how you think of Detroit right now? I know that it's not about, well, the town itself, but...
It's kind of a two-pronged song, and I'll tell you why. It's the original band wrote that song with me, Dennis, Mike, and Neil. And we always felt like we were social debris. We didn't fit in. We didn't fit in with the L.A. scene, the San Francisco scene, the New York scene. We fit in with the Detroit scene. And, you know, Detroit has always been the butt of the joke. If somebody says, we can make you in a movie. There was a movie where the guy, they're questioning a spy. And they torture him, and they do everything, and then finally they say, "Take him to Detroit." And he goes, "No, no, no, I'll talk," because that would be the worst thing to be sent to Detroit. Now, I feel that Detroit feels like social debris. I think that Detroit feels like outsiders. They don't really fit in everywhere, but that's what gives them that personality. That's what gives them that hard rock personality. And to me, yeah, the song fit Detroit as well as it fit the band, the original band.
So to say, Detroit will be back on track in a few years' time.
Oh yeah, Detroit is right now in a period of really regrowth right now. If you go downtown Detroit, there was a time when if you went downtown Detroit, it was very dangerous. You go downtown Detroit now, and it's one of the nicest, coolest cities ever. They really put a lot of money, and they got rid of all the drugs. They got rid of, well, you never can get rid of all the drugs, but, I mean, they've cleaned it up to the point where you can feel very safe being downtown Detroit.
Alice, thank you so much for your time, and good luck with the new album coming out late February, and, have a good night.
Thank you, and I'm glad you like it, and we'll be on tour as soon as we possibly can, and I guarantee you we'll be in your area.
I don't commit, I just collide. Submit, I'll just decide on where to run or where to hide. Their eyes are everywhere, I see them spying there at my face, at my hair. I won't plug in to their machine. I hate the sound, I hate that scene. I sure ain't hip, I sure can't hop. I lost the script, I lost the plot. There's spies are everywhere, I feel them hiding there, on my face, in my hair. I just can't cope with all this disease. It's pushing down, 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 down on me. Look at me, what you say? Down, 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 down.
Rock Podcast.
Disse var ordene fra Alice Cooper. Der var selvfølgelig også et par numre fra det nye album Detroit Stories. Der var blandt andet Detroit City 2020. Der var Our Love Will Change the World. Og sidst fik du nyeste single, der hedder Social Debris. Jeg hedder Sten Skovgaard. Tusind tak, fordi du lyttede med.
My Rock. My Rock. Podcast.